This week's mailbag comes to us from Ingrid. Dear Lisa, I love Organize 365. It has been a lifesaver. I wanted to tell you a few of the effects of organizing. Since listening to your podcast, I have been so inspired by ideas for decorating. Now things around me are no longer all brown. I think that the messiness and piles around me for so many years created a sort of beauty hunger in me, wanting my surroundings to have beauty. Now that they are organized and calm, they have become beautiful. I have actually had time to help others with their organization, and since my time is more organized, my helping time is much more full. I know that nothing gets accomplished without organization. Organization is freedom from bondage. There is way less panic in me, and that is gigantic for me. I can't express how long I had those feelings. I was continually scared that I was messing up something financially with the paper disorganization. Weekends are now lived from an entirely different basis. I don't spend time pulling up hot messes. I still have much stuff in my basement, but now I think, it's not bad. It's doable. My mind actually works differently. I had family over for some holiday meals and it was fun. It was hard work, but worth it. The whole event was organized. Lisa, many years ago, there was a movie called To Sir With Love about a teacher and the profound effect he had on his students' lives. It was a touching and beautiful movie. It showed that when a teacher really devoted herself to his or her students, their lives could change. That is who you are to me. You have a profound effect on my life. I wanted very much for you to know the good effect that you have had on me.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Today, we're going to talk about your thinking and how to become a more positive person. In the podcast on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I talked about the blessings that have been all around us in 2020, that there have been positive things that have been happening all around us this year, and some of us have seen them and some of us haven't. And it really is a cognitive choice to see the positive in every situation. I'm going to start with an email from a reader who says, "Thanks to your Sunday basket and binders, I'm finally getting the paper disaster in my life organized. But as I'm going through the papers, I'm reminded of all the mistakes I made, and it just makes my stomach churn. There are so many coulda, shoulda, wouldas running through my head. How had I not been so fearful of dealing with money? Had been more organized, had found the Sunday basket sooner, maybe my life would have been less frazzled and the outcomes would have been better. How do I cope with these emotions while getting the paper organized?" In my family, I am the most positive person. I didn't used to be the most positive person, but currently I am the most positive person. And so I sat down and I thought through, what are some experiences that we've had in our family in 2020 where you could see either side? And I always chose to see the positive side. And what does that look like? So let me give you a few concrete examples that you can relate to. Greg makes an amazingly awesome Sunday dinner every other week when his mom comes over, and usually every Sunday he makes some awesome dinner for us. And he gets very frustrated when the kids are not around for dinner. And his mom was coming over, and Abby, who almost always is there for dinner because she likes a good meal, wasn't going to be there, and she forgot to tell Greg that she wasn't going to be there for dinner. And so last minute she said, "I'm sorry, I'm going out to dinner for my friend's birthday." And I was like, "Awesome, have a great time." And he's like, "Why are you not here for my Sunday dinner?" You know, very, very upset. And I was super excited that Abby had a friend to go out to for dinner, you know, that she was able to get out, that it was going to be safe, et cetera, et cetera. And I immediately saw how that would be a positive thing. And you could see in that very first example that if you're the one making dinner, you're like, "What do you mean? She can go out after dinner, have cake later." And if you're the parent who is trying to find social outlets for your kids, you're like, yes, any opportunity that is available, we will take advantage of that opportunity. And you can see how that same exact situation can be positive or negative, depending on how you look at the situation. Additionally, positive for me, negative for Joey, is that Joey graduated college with an audio engineering degree when the world was closed. Not great for him. Great for me, because he's working for Organize 365 and taking photos and shipping and just, you know, adding in that fun 20-year-old personality and style into our brand. I love working with Joey. It's such a blessing for me. Not necessarily a blessing for him, because his career plan path of choice is not available, but you know, he has not been negative about it at all. He's really enjoying working for Organize 365 as well. Another thing is about all of these live conferences that we're attending that have now moved to digital. I know, you know, when we had Embrace and we had to make it digital, we sent out these awesome surprise boxes, and we have great plans for Embrace 2020 to be able to have that be hopefully in person, on demand, or live streamed, and give you any option that you want to experience Embrace in the way that works best for you, your family, your finances, and everything you have going on in your family. We would never have been looking at, and you know, I've been very vocal about how Embrace could not be a digital event, and now we're like, oh yeah, it could totally be digital. Well, because a lot of these conferences have moved to digital, we have a couple of our Organize 365 team members attending a conference I have always wanted to attend, but it was always at a bad time of year. It's an expensive conference. It's far away, so you don't just have the ticket price, but also the flights and the hotels and the meals. And then if you send team members there, a per diem and all these other things that you have to do for team members, it's not in our budget right now. Well, because this conference went digital, we were able to buy 3 digital tickets for a little bit more than the price of just one ticket with no food, no travel, no bonus days. We got the extra VIP pass so we could get all the recordings digitally so my employees could watch the videos later. They didn't have to watch them live stream and take any personal time. So there are a lot of ways that these conferences that have gone digital have actually been a benefit to me and to my company. Let's talk about 2 big ones, which you could pretty much say have no positive benefits to them, but I'm going to tell you the positive benefits that I found. The first one is when we got locked down. So in the United States and all over the world, when we got locked down in the middle of March and we weren't allowed to go anywhere, you would probably say there aren't many positives that came from that. But one of the positives that I noticed immediately and was very forward and fast acting of our government here in the United States, and I know they did this in a lot of different governments, was how quickly they got a stimulus check out to the American people, but how the first thing they talked about was small businesses. And it's the first time I ever remember being a small business owner where the federal government was prioritizing in everything they were doing small businesses and how this was going to impact them before the impacts had even been felt yet. And I really felt like, not that we were necessarily going to be okay, but at least we were on the radar. And I've never felt that before. And I thought that was so interesting to have the conversation that the majority of people in the United States are employed by a small business owner. They work at a very small company. A lot of people work at GM and GE and P&G and all these different alphabetical soup companies. But the majority of people actually work for small businesses, or they are self-employed, or they are freelancers. And to have our government recognize that immediately and that was where the ultimate pain was going to be for the American people was refreshing for me. The second one in that same time frame was that schools were closed and all of the kids were sent home, and we had to figure out how to school from home in the spring, and some people are still figuring out how to do it in the fall. And I would say the biggest blessing or the thought change that has occurred was pre-pandemic, and I've been a teacher, so the conversation was parents don't understand teachers, teachers don't understand parents. Like, it was, the kids were there, the kids were going to be educated, but it was parents, you don't understand what my life is like as a teacher, and parents would say, you don't understand what my child needs. And what immediately became self-evident was that parents saw their kids at home being schooled, and they saw a couple things. One, they were right. Their kids needed to be pushed harder. Two, the teachers were right. They needed a little bit of extra support, or they needed something different. Like, parents were able to see their kids in an education environment and really be able to observe that and say, okay, this is what's working, this isn't working, and how are we going to fix that going forward? Also, teachers immediately had to value parents more because the parents were the ones logging the kids into the computer, getting them access, getting them on the right tasks, turning things in. The amount of emails that went between teachers and parents in the spring of 2020 was exponential, possibly more than the amount of online learning that went on just trying to figure it all out. I know there were teachers up until midnight replying to emails from parents, and parents also trying to figure out how to log into three different teachers at three different times while trying to work on their business. And I think when it all settles out and we look at that, parents value teachers more, teachers value parents more, and kids are going to be the beneficiaries going forward. All right. The one thing that happened in 2020 where I was not very positive about my thinking. Oh, I was positive about thinking about solutions to getting what I wanted, but I was not very positive to the reality that there was not going to be a book tour. You would not believe the amount of ideas I came up with for how was I going to do a book tour for the paper solution and come to where you are and sign your books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And ultimately, I had to realize that we were not going to have one. I made that decision, you know, early on in June. Mostly my publisher sat on me and said, you are not leaving the state. And I was like, fine. Fine then. It didn't even really bother me that I didn't go to Florida with the family. It didn't bother me that I missed other trips. Like, none of that bothered me. But not being able to travel the United States and see you really bothered me. And so I have been thinking about my thinking related to the book tour. And thinking about your thinking is called metacognition. It means thinking beyond and thinking inside of your thoughts. So to think about your thinking, I have wanted to have a nationwide book tour since before I was a book author. It sounds so crazy. So I published a book in 2005 called The ABCs of the Bible with Thomas Nelson. And as soon as I published that book with them, it was a church curriculum. You could still buy it through Amazon. We still sell it, but Thomas Nelson doesn't sell it anymore. I was like, oh, wouldn't that be fun to do a book tour? Now, I didn't have an audience at that time. That wasn't my business. Like, I was never going to do a book tour. But I always wanted to have a book tour. So when I came out with the book, The Mindset of Organization in 2016, I wanted to have a book tour. How ADHD Affects Home Organization in 2017, I wanted to have a book tour. The Paper Solution in 2020, I wanted to have a book tour. The book tour for The Paper Solution was planned all the way back, like, in 2016, I had already picked out the cities that I was going to. So I started to think about, why was I so frustrated about this book tour being canceled? And I remember Ray is our CFO, and I meet with him once a month, and we have this money set aside for me to travel for the book tour. And I was like, take it out. He said, what? And I was like, we're not going. You know, like a little baby throwing a temper tantrum, which I basically was acting like. I do act like this sometimes. You can ask the team. There was a couple days there, they were like, oh, Lisa is mad. I was like, we can't do it. We're not doing the book tour. He goes, well, we'll do it later. We'll do it some other times. He said, I'm not taking it out of the budget. I said, Ray, we're not able to do it. The publisher said, no, I can't do it. I can't do my book tour. Nah, 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 nah. He was like, I'm leaving it in there anyway. So the book publication came and went. I obviously did not go on a book tour. But when I look at my plan for 2021, I am traveling the United States, you guys. July to November of 2021. I could tell you right now which cities I will be in on which days. I have it all planned out. All planned out. And it is extremely similar to the book tour that I had like 6 years ago. And so I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, what is it about this book tour? Like, you can't call it a book tour if the book was launched a year prior. Like, it can't be called a book tour. Am I going to call it a meet and greet? What is the deal, Lisa, about this book tour? What is it that you really want? And I started thinking about my thinking about the book tour. And what I realized was, it wasn't a book tour. I wanted a book tour because I thought that would give me the legitimacy, the reason, the money, the backing to do a nationwide travel trip to see you. It would legitimize what I wanted to do. Well, I had a book, so obviously I have to do a book tour, so I'm going to be traveling the United States for weeks on end. And you can't say I can't do it because I have a book and I'm doing a book tour. So I was using the book tour as the reason why I was allowed to do what I really want to do, which is travel. And I was thinking about my thinking, I want to travel, period. And whether it's work-related, with my family, with my husband, internationally, like I want to travel. I have this burning desire to travel and see people. I thought, okay, well, you could travel without it being a work thing, without it being a book tour. And I said, okay, well, I want to travel for sure. I want to do Europe with Greg. Like I want to go once a year to Europe with Greg. Whenever we're able to start doing that, I want to do that. I also want to travel with my family. Like I want to start around Christmas time, taking the kids, and when they have significant others and spouses and kids or whatever, like I want to start traveling to the Bahamas once a year in December with our nuclear family as my kids get older, as they become adults. I want this to be the thing that they look forward to. But I also want to travel to see you. And it sounds like, why do I want to do this? And so I think about this all the time. Why do I have this desire to go like to Des Moines, Iowa and Utah and Arizona and all over the place? Why do I want to go these places I've never been? I don't know anybody there. Like, why? And I just can't shake it. Like, I want to go to all of these cities and I want to meet you. And so I keep thinking about my thinking. Okay, Lisa, but why? What is the point? And I finally figured out that the reason why is because we are lonely. Like, I have everything I want. I have my business. I have more time than I know what to do with. I have a loving husband, a great family, a good job. Like, I want for nothing. But I'm lonely. And when I say I'm lonely, I mean like, I want to be around other people who've had the same experience that I've had so we could just talk about the experience. Like, I love going to a conference where I've followed the conference person, whether it's a podcaster or course creator or book author or whatever, for a long time, and I've consumed all of their work. And so when I'm at that conference, even though I may not get to talk to that person, I could talk to all the other people who have had the same experience of being transformed by that person or that product or that service or whatever. And I feel like I'm in a room where I belong. And I love that feeling. And that's what I want Organize 365 to be like, which is why we have the certification program, so that if you're struggling with getting your Sunday basket done and you've purchased a Sunday basket from us, you can come to our online Sunday Basket Club, or you can find a certified organizer local to you that will either do your Sunday basket with you one-on-one, or you could start attending their in-person or virtual Sunday Basket Club in a smaller group setting where you get more individualized intention. But most importantly, you meet somebody else that lives close to you that knows Organize 365. Not that everybody needs to know Organize 365, but you guys do. Like, you listen to the podcast, so your thinking is changing, your habits are being changed, your thought process, you're growing and developing in ways that none of your family and friends and colleagues are growing. And it's nice to be able to talk to somebody else who's also in the Organize 365 community about whatever harebrained thing Lisa just said on the podcast that you never thought of before. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. What are you doing about that? Or, you know, I just love that idea of commonality in transformation and growth. Like, we're all transforming and growing together. And so I ultimately realized that the book tour has nothing to do with the book. The book tour is about me being able to travel the United States and meet with people in different cities who have all listened to these ideas and courses and programs that I've created, and you are being transformed. You're getting more times. You're living out your purpose. You're having more time for your passion projects, and I want to know what it is. Like, what are you creating? What are you doing? How is this transforming your family? I want to hear the stories. I want to hug you. I want to sign your book or whatever you want to bring me. I'll sign Sunday baskets, whatever. I want to meet you in person because I am an extrovert. And I love recording these podcasts for you, but I would love it even more if I could see your face light up, if I could see the aha moment, if I could give you the hug. I'm a teacher. I just want to go out and meet my students. So I need a good name for this tour because I'm going to be doing it every year from July until November. Different cities each year. Most of the cities that I mentioned are not actually on the first round of doing this because I've already picked out all the cities. So I love any ideas. I was thinking maybe this is Meet the Teacher. I also want everyone in these areas to come together, like the certified organizers and the podcast listeners and the people in the courses, like all of us to be able to come together because I want to give you a hug, but I want you to meet the people in line with you to meet me so that you then have a local connection to Organize 365 so that you feel less lonely. And this is the best example I can give you of thinking about your thinking, controlling your thoughts, and always looking for more possibilities. Thinking time, when you give yourself thinking time, leads to goals, leads to dreaming, and leads to having those fulfilled. When you think time bound, like this is what's happening at this minute, I can't get what I want, it leads to disappointment. So, for example, when you're thinking time bound, I'm having Sunday dinner, Abby can't come to Sunday dinner, I bought too much food, I'm mad, I'm disappointed. But when you're thinking goals and long term, my daughter has a friend, she's going out to dinner with them, she is moving on to her adulting life, not time bound on this one Sunday at this time, awesome positive thoughts. When you think about this book tour, I can't do it in 2020 with the launch of The Paper Solution. I'm depressed. I'm disappointed. When you think about the purpose of the book tour isn't even about a book. It's about establishing and connecting and meeting with and making even stronger these little pockets of organized 365 transformation all over the United States. Then it's just a matter of when. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Maybe it's not going to happen in 2021 with the exact cities that I already have on the calendar that our team already knows all about that we're already starting to work on. Or maybe it'll be some other time. But I've had this same goal and this same dream for so many years. I know it will happen. It's just a matter of when. And when you stop being time bound on your thoughts and you start thinking about your ultimate goals and purpose and what you want, you become a more positive, proactive person. You're less holding on to what happens at this minute, at this time, as long as you're positively and proactively moving towards the future that you want to see. And the future that you want to see always happens in your mind first. It always happens in your mind first, and your thinking will project out into the future what you will see. If you're not seeing a lot of transformation in your life, as most people are not, it's because you're living the same Groundhog Day every day. You get up, you do this, you go to work, you up, work, so, you know, same thing, same thing, same thing. And if there's one thing 2020 gave us all, the biggest blessing 2020 gave everyone, is it took all of that away. Like it literally took your snow globe, shook it up, and then said, forget it, we're not even going to have snow. Good luck. Good luck finding everything. You've had to recreate your life this year. You've had to pick and choose. And going into 2021, and when there is a vaccine and all of this starts to dissipate, the future that you have will be of your own design. And if you don't design it, somebody else will. So I highly recommend you design it. Think about what you want to see in the future. And next week on the podcast, I am going to be sharing with you my new Organize 365 vision for the next 3 years. It's not happened yet, but this is how I imagine Organize 365 is going to change in the next 3 years and how we plan on being a part of that change. Cannot wait to share it with you. See you next week.